My advice for entrepreneurs is definitely to level up with Shopify. The platform is just never a worry. Like, I have so many worries, but the platform is never one. I feel like Shopify really thinks about how they can optimize. It just always feels very ahead of the curve. Everything is just super easy to connect and link. They really know what we need. Time and money that is saved, I can spend on other things and on growth.
Start your free trial at shopify.com.
Would you do a reality dating show?
Absolutely not.
Cool.
I like...
Dang.
You want to hear the truth. A few years ago, someone asked me if I would ever go on The Bachelorette, and I said yes. Because I was like, a lot of my issues with dating is I just like there's too many options and that like really stresses me out. And so just to have a producer say this is what you want and your goal is to win them over would take so much of the stress out of it. And I do kind of still stand by that I like truly hate dating because it freaks me out because there's too many options. But I also think a lot of my anxiety about dating at the time that I answered that question was from me being queer and being closeted to myself. So I was like, I just want someone to tell me what I should like because I can't figure it out.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Hello, everyone.
Hello. Is it me you're looking for?
I can see it in your eyes.
How are you, buddy?
You know, I'm doing so well. I've never been better. Everyone, my name is Ian Allred. I'm a Gleek. And a fun fact about me, just like a fun personality quirk, is that I have COVID.
No! Boo!
But just to make it extra exciting, it is opening week of my show.
No!
And my whole family flew to New York to see me in the show that my understudy will be performing in because I have COVID.
And they're seeing it still?
Yeah.
Good patrons of the arts your family is, my God.
So I did get to do opening night. That was nice. I did opening night and then we had a few days off and it was during those days off that I got a positive test and was like, oh. And so now I'm out of the show for a while. So if any of you like went and saw the show last weekend, I truly apologize that I was not in it. It was out of my control. Uh-oh. So I've just been sitting in a room watching a whole lot of television.
Yeah.
How are you?
You know, I don't have COVID, so a little better than you, I would say. But I'm good. Just doing my whole New York thing.
Heck yeah.
Going work, coming home. How are you feeling? Like,
I feel fine. You know, I'm double vaxxed and boosted. I never lost taste or smell. I never had any chest pain.
I did throw up in a Chipotle bathroom.
Yeah, no, I had, you know, I definitely like was sick. I did, you know, have some stomach issues. But like right now, I just like have to blow my nose every once in a while and that's it. So it's nice in the fact that, you know, I don't want to be in the misery of being like sore and having muscle spasms and all that stuff. Yeah. So that's really nice. It's just frustrating to be like, oh, my family is in this city seeing a show that like physically I could do the show right now and like it wouldn't be exhausting. But just because what I have is so contagious and is so dangerous for people who are immunocompromised, which like I totally understand, full respect, but it's just frustrating that it's like, and so I have to stay trapped in this room.
Seriously, I remember when I had COVID, that was the worst part is like, you know, just being alone in my room and I could like, you know, I lived in a house with my mom, you know, like I was never that alone, but like, you know, having your family be actively in the city they don't live in, my heart goes out to you. Are you ready to talk about dynamic duets?
Absolutely.
Hey, let's do it.
Oh, yeah, it's time for the Glecks.
Dynamic Duets is the 7th episode of season 4. It is the 73rd episode overall. It aired on November 22nd, 2012. It was written by one of the big three.
Ian Brennan.
Heck yeah. It was also
lied. I knew I saw. Don't let me lead you astray. I feel like you would have gotten it though.
I feel like this is
honestly, I saw that and I said, this is very much an Ian Brennan episode. Yeah.
It's super got a stink on it. It was also directed by him, so it makes sense.
I love that.
Songs in this episode are Dark Side by Kelly Clarkson, performed by Blaine and the Warblers. Superman by The Click, but specifically the REM version, performed by Jake and Ryder. Mm-hmm. Holding Out for a Hero by Bonnie Tyler, performed by Kitty and Marley. A fact about this number. So it starts with Kitty going down into the splits to sing the first line, the where have all the good men gone and where are all the gods? This is a reference to drag queen Tandy Iman Dupree's performance at the 2001 Miss Gay Black America pageant, where she, I watched this performance, it's literally incredible. She's dressed as Wonder Woman.
There's like a big like aisle down.
Like a big catwalk, yeah.
Uh-huh, I know.
She's
exactly
dressed as Wonder Woman. She literally falls from the ceiling.
Yes!
Lands on the stage in the splits, starts lip syncing. It's crazy.
I'm obsessed. That's so cool.
The next song is Heroes by David Bowie, performed by Blaine and Sam. This is the first Blam duet in the entirety of Glee. Oh, yoy! when Darren was in Nashville for his Listen Up tour, him and Cord sang this song.
Oh, that's awesome.
Also during this number, there's a scene of the Glee Club, The New Directions, cleaning up graffiti on the walls of McKinley High. And one of the graffiti says, Figgins likes to be milked like a cow, which is a reference to Britney 2.0 when Figgins is introducing the pep assembly and he says he wants to dispel the rumors that he likes to be milked like a cow.
Oh, that's funny.
And then finally we got Some Nights by Fun, period. Performed by the New Directions. And this number is Kitty's first solo in a group number.
Wow.
This is the second Glee episode with no whisper of Rachel Berry. There is no New York in this episode. It is also the first Glee episode with not a whisper of William Schuster.
Ooh. Honestly, a pretty peaceful episode.
Truly. And this episode deals a lot with superheroes. Obviously, everyone has a superhero alter ego. They're all wearing different superhero outfits. And Melissa Benoist, who plays Marley, Darren Criss, who plays Blaine, and Barry Allen, who plays Barry Allen on The Flash.
Yeah.
On The Flash, why did I say that? All star in CW superhero series The Flash and Supergirl. Mm-hmm. All three of them are in an episode of The Flash. I think it's called Duet. It's season 3, episode 17.
Ooh. We should watch that for a Patreon exclusive minisode sometime.
I started watching it today.
Oh.
And I said, I like this for what it is. What it is not for me.
Okay. Have you ever watched like Supergirl or The Flash or anything?
I have not, no.
Mm. I really like Supergirl. I haven't watched The Flash before.
That episode is a crossover episode between The Flash and Supergirl, which Melissa plays Supergirl and Barry Allen plays The Flash. And it's a musical episode. Darren Criss guest stars as the villain Music Meister. He puts Supergirl and The Flash into a coma, a shared coma where they have to survive a musical.
Easy.
Also, Alex Newell is not in this episode. I don't know why. I was looking around. I couldn't find like a specific reason, but they were in a movie that came out in 2013 called Geography Club. And, you know, this is like late 2012. So I wonder if they like were filming for that movie.
Yeah.
I don't know. We've had cast members miss for so many reasons. Like Diana Agron was gone 1 week because she went to Paris Fashion Week. So I imagine Alex probably had something else to do this week.
Yeah.
And they were like, okay, you'll be back next week. And not very exciting, but those are your clacks.
Thanks for those clacks.
Also, I just put a cough drop in. Did you hear I have COVID? So if you hear like a weird ASMR.
You chew your cough drop. That's what that is. Fast.
No, I haven't chewed it yet. I'm sucking on it.
You haven't? Okay.
But just like, I feel like you also might be able to hear that I have something in my mouth. So just that's what's happening there.
You guys, he has COVID. Stop bullying him.
Don't come for me. Oh my gosh. I already told you about this. But New York, they're taking their COVID so seriously, which like love them for it. God bless them. But I had someone call me from like the New York COVID office who was a contact tracer. Mm-hmm. To ask me this whole list of questions once I got a positive test. And the question started from like, where have you been in the last few...
Where have you been?
It started out with questions that were like...
They called you Ronald Weasley for some reason. It was weird.
It also came in the form of like this red letter that turned into lips.
Totally.
It was asking me... Like, where have I been the last few days? Who have I been in contact with? Which means, like, I was within 3 feet of them for more than 10 minutes. All that stuff. That all made a lot of sense to me. Mm-hmm. And then they asked, like, what symptoms do you have? When did those symptoms start? All made a lot of sense to me. Then they started asking questions about, like, what's your race? What's your gender? Mm-hmm. And, like, that made, like, enough sense about me. I'm, like, sure they need these for their records. And then they were asking me, like, what's your sexuality? And then they and then they asked me, do you wear glasses? And
I wonder if it's like, you know, sometimes you'll see like articles that seem like kind of weird where it's like, if you wear glasses, you're far more likely to get COVID. And if it's something like that, where if it's like, do people with bad eyesight get COVID more?
You're like... That makes a lot of sense, but I was like, dude, I've been on the phone with you for an hour now. And he did say, he was like, you don't have to answer any of these questions. So like any question you don't feel comfortable answering, don't. But I was like, I got stuff to do. And I fully had an interview with someone that I was supposed to do over the phone that was supposed to happen while I was on the phone with him. So I had to text him and be like, I'm so sorry. The contact tracer is taking forever. And it lasted so incredibly long. I swear he like knows my grandparents' names, like knows my DNA, knows everything about me. It's ridiculous. I got on
it
the phone.
Turns out it wasn't a contact tracer. He was just stealing your identity.
Truly. He was like, what's your social security number? And I was like, this seems weird, but okay. He was like, can you read
anything for the COVID cause?
Your credit card number and then the three numbers on the back. And I was like, sure. Anything to stop the pandemic.
Yeah. Gotta keep my neighbors safe.
I finally called the guy that I had the interview with afterwards. And I was like, I'm so sorry. I'm late. That took forever. And I basically told him everything I've just told you. And the guy goes, oh, are you guys going on a second date next week?
You're like, God, I hope not. I know. Well, when I got tested like 2 weeks ago, they asked me what my sexuality was. And I was like, what does that have to do with anything?
Wild. Wild.
Okay, I'll tell you. Honestly, it was nice to come out.
Like now the state of New York knows.
The state of New York has written proof. Well, sorry. Oh, wow. Having COVID is so bad. I'm so sorry, bud.
Ayo, party. Frankly,
party.
Remember how last week on the podcast, I was like, I don't know how to relax.
Yeah.
I know how to relax. It's when I'm not allowed to leave the room. Because before, I get so anxious because I'm like, there's so many other things I should be doing. But when the government tells me, the CDC, I should say, when the CDC tells me what we need from you is for you to not leave your room under any circumstances except to pee, then suddenly I am just like napping. I'm watching TV and fully enjoying it. I'm like cool, calm, and collected because I'm doing my part. This is what I should be doing
right
now.
Honestly, you are doing your civic duty. That is actually very nice of you. I hated having COVID. I cried the entire time. So I'm glad that you have found some relaxation. You do deserve it, genuinely. You've been working hard.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Do you want me to give you a recap?
Heck yeah.
Okay, what are the songs in this song? I'm holding out for a recap till the morning light. She's down on a down on a down on a down on a recap, a recap, recap. I didn't know any words.
Did you write those lyrics yourself?
I did.
That was impressive.
I'm
Bonnie
a writer
Tyler,
first.
Who?
Who? Coming for your bag, Bonnie. Okay, let me give you this. Oh my God, I was like, I'm going to say it like a superhero. I'm going to say it like a superhero. And I was like, I'm going to think about this. And you know what? I haven't done think about it. So this is on the fly. Here is what you missed on Glee.
Clark? Clark Kent, was that you?
I know. Wait, hold on. I'm wearing glasses.
Oh my gosh, it's Superman. What?
Oh my God. I'm going to say it without my glasses. No, I need my glasses. Okay. Here's what you missed on Glee. The Warblers steal the New Directions Nationals trophy. The Glee Club start another club called the Society of Superheroes, and they investigate the case. Jake and Ryder continue to fight for Marley's affection, causing drama among the group. Finn gives the assignment for Jake and Ryder to pair up, and Marley and Kitty pair up to sing superhero songs and duet to strengthen the group. Kitty acts friendly, but like a true villain, encourages Marley's ED some more. Jake and Ryder are encouraged to share their kryptonite. Jake opens up about his struggles fitting in as a biracial man, and Ryder shares that he struggles reading. Jake goes to Finn, and Finn finds Ryder the help he needs, and he gets diagnosed with dyslexia and gets help with school. Blaine sings a song with the Warblers and decides to go back to Dalton and finish out his senior year to get away from all of his post-breakup bad feelings. And the club hears wind of this, and Sam challenges him to be heroes with him just for one day and sees if he still wants to leave. The Glee Club works like true superheroes and works together to make their community better, and Blaine decides to stay. And that's what you missed on Glee! Ba-ba-ba-ba!
Incredible. Amazing. Wow.
Amazing. All right, Ian. How did you feel about Dynamic Duets? Did you like it?
I liked it fine. Here's the deal. Yeah. I'm going to have a positive attitude about this episode because I think it's not interesting to listen to someone be like, ho-hum. But just here's what we all need to understand. I personally don't like season 4.
Yeah.
And I just, like, the dynamic has changed for me, and I think the newbies... The dynamic duets have changed for me. And I think the newbies, specifically Jake, Ryder, and Marley, don't fit the show. It feels like I'm watching, you know, The Flash or Supergirl, which, like I said, are good, but just not for me. And so this just, like, doesn't feel like my show anymore. But that being said, from what we've seen of season 4... this is definitely one of the better episodes, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about you?
I really like this episode. And especially, like, all my bad feelings last episode, you know, they're still there. And obviously the storyline is still, like, progressing. So, you know, it's just, that's just a reality of this TV show now. But I really enjoy this episode. I think it's quality. I think it's really funny. I think it's got some really beautiful, touching moments in there. I think, you know... I really like all the stuff with Sam. I like the stuff with Jake. And I like him and Ryder. I like the stuff with Ryder. And I like that him and Jake have, like, set aside their differences.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, So I enjoy this episode. I'm excited to talk about it. Do you want to hear the notes that I took? I took 3 notes. I don't know why. I just was, like, watching it. I was just watching it. And I don't know. One of them is Full Nelson, Full Nelson. And then one of them is, the warblers are my birthright and my destiny.
I'm obsessed with
and
that line.
And then the last one is, man, what has Sam been reduced to? That was before Sam got like a plot in this episode.
Okay.
Because he just like, he comes in these last couple of episodes where he just like said something funny. Mm-hmm. And like, it was like after his Bane moment, he was like doing his Bane impression and then like walked away. And I was like, God, is this what Sam is now? Like just like the comedic relief, like every once in a while will come in and say something silly and then walk away. And he's just not a player in this story anymore. Pardon me.
That's just like part of my beef with our triangle of newbies. Is I'm like, they are just living their CW lives, which is, you know, is fine, but it's causing all of these other characters not named Blaine to just become nothing. And I do think, like, yes, Blaine is getting a lot of focus, but I think that Blaine without Kurt is a much more interesting character. So I'm happy to see Blaine getting focus right now because we are seeing him become a full character. Mm-hmm. But, like, we got Artie and Tina and Brittany just sitting there and saying like one or two lines. And then, like you said, Sam is the same until like the last 10 minutes of the episode. Yeah. He finally does something. Meanwhile, we have consistently had these like three act big deal plots for Jake and Marley nearly every episode.
Essentially
this season.
Strangers to us. Yeah.
And watching this episode, I was like, is Samuel Larson embarrassed to be on this show?
I literally, the cringiest moments in this episode are Samuel Larson. And like, he also, like to watch like a writer have like these entire plots and like love triangles and solos and duets. And he just like is nothing.
And they're like, and then Sam, you get to be like, I think Jesus is a superhero, and then go back in your cage until next week. Like, I'd be furious if I was him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh my gosh. That's the same. And I mean, with Joe, I like for real feel bad for Samuel Larson, and I think these writers screwed him over. But like, you know, I don't think Joe is a very interesting character. But then we got Sugar Mata, who I think has so much potential to be fun.
I agree.
And her one line in this episode is a very fun line when she's like, my name is Sugar and Spice. No, Sweet and Spicy here. My superpower is money.
And the way she says it, she goes, is money. It's like, so cute.
And I'm like, why are these characters just wallpaper and Marley, Jake, and Ryder are given the spotlight every week without fail. Yeah. I understand they get A plots every once in a while, but consistently this whole season, they have gotten an A plot near every week.
Yeah, I agree. And like, I just think it could have been such a good opportunity. We've said this before to like, you know, certainly explore these new characters, but like explore them in the way that like Sam was explored last season, you know, and like kind of up them in the rankings rather than like keeping where he was, like, and like Tina where she was, like pushing these other people above them. I just think the structure is bad.
Yeah. It doesn't make any sense to me. Shoot. All that being said, I really love how stylized this episode is, how it is. It leans so heavily into being like 1960s Batman TV show and so heavily into being a comic book, and it is purposely melodramatic.
I really enjoy it.
Even with like the cinematography, like there's the scene when Blaine first goes to Dalton to confront them about stealing the trophy, and Sebastian is there, and Blaine is like, you did this, didn't you? And Sebastian's like, no, don't you remember I turned over a new leaf? Our new leader did it. And then Hunter spins around in the chair, and then it does like a close up on the cat he's petting, and then a close up on the fireplace, and the fire rages. That's so funny and ridiculous.
Even like, I love the setup of that scene, because it like, it's like a follow camera on Blaine, and like what's his face, Sebastian, is like standing in the hallway just like kind of posed, and then the doors close on him, and then it cuts to the guy in the chair. It is so funny. I love it. I really, and honestly, like, even like the drama of, you know, I didn't know how I felt about this, but I think I feel mostly positive about it. I like the scene where Jake is with like the reading specialist and like, you
mean,
know, like.
You mean writer?
Freak you. Are you serious?
Oh my gosh, Lena, you gotta get those two names separated.
They're not even similar. They're not even similar people.
There is one letter that is in both names, and that's it. And the letter is silent in Jake. It is a silent E.
That, I'm not even trying. I'm not even trying to like be funny. That is,
frankly, it just goes to show that these characters are so similar and so bland. What?
With Ryder, I need like flashcards, like sitting next to me with like their names and faces. Like with Ryder, with the reading specialist, where like it's like a montage of him reading and it's like, you know, like Dutch angles and like it's a funny like coloring on the screen. I was like, at first I felt weird about it, but then I was like, you know what? I'm into it. I'm into it. I thought it was fun.
Yeah. And I really liked that scene because it felt like a scene in a superhero movie where like the superhero is learning this power that they have.
Sure. Yeah.
And like, yes, Ryder learns that he's dyslexic, which is really hard, but he also learns that he's not dumb. Like what Ryder learns is it's not, oh, you're stupid. What he learned, like what the specialist says to him, that she's like, no, you're actually very smart. In the sense that you are doing as well as you've been doing while having this thing that was holding you back and being unaware of it. It fits like the melodrama of the episode, but I was also like, that is like also a fun way to frame it.
Totally.
That he's learning that he's had this superpower the whole time, that he has been able to navigate life while he has all of these things holding him back.
I agree. How do you want to break down this episode?
We can talk about Blam. We can talk about Jiter. We can talk about Carly.
Carly.
And then Finn is just kind of like, he's around. Yeah, he's putting his finger in every pie, you know?
Yeah. What do you want to talk about first?
I don't know. Let's talk maybe like Blaine first.
Cool. Let's talk about Blaine. Listen, you guys, you know me, I'm Blaine and the Pips till I die. Getting some Warbler action with Blaine, I was like, I didn't know how much I needed this. I loved it so much. It was so fun. I love that whole number. I love the Warblers. I love the Warblers being evil. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I think that is like, you know, since Vocal Adrenaline, I think that's been like lacking from this show. Like, you know, we needed an opposing force. And I think making it another club is... I think the best option for the show, and nothing will ever beat my Vocal Adrenaline when it comes to being villains, but I love it. I love the vibes. The vibes are good and the song is fun. And I just love it.
Yeah.
How do you feel about it?
I think the Blaine plot is the strongest one in the episode for me.
Yeah.
It is the perfect balance of being like so over the top and ridiculous, but then also having realistic emotional stakes for these characters that yes, I do believe that Blaine having lost his relationship with Kurt would feel out of place at McKinley, and he would be wanting to be who he was before he met Kurt back at Dalton. All of that makes sense to me emotionally. And also having the Warblers be essentially like the brotherhood of mutants, and having them like tempt Blaine by being like, oh, just sing this song with us. Yeah. And it's,
if you're so afraid, just put on the coat. I don't know. It's so fun.
The fact that Blaine puts on a Dalton Academy blazer and sings with them is supposed to be like, oh no, like, he's crossing over.
No. Even the way like Sam calls it like the Death Star. I love the whole attitude towards the Warblers in this, and like especially that scene where he puts on the coat. It is like drama, like high drama, and then this like freaking Kelly Clarkson song starts, and you're like, I don't know, that's what I love about Glee. Real life stakes, but like at this like level that is like so like they stole their trophy. It's just a trophy. I just love it, and I love this Blaine stuff, and I absolutely agree. Like, you know, I think this is a perfect next step in this story of like, you know, he came to McKinley. He just realized he came to McKinley for Kurt, and he doesn't have Kurt anymore. And he's feeling all the shame, and like he, you know, can't be a good guy anymore. Ugh. He can't be a good guy anymore. He has to cross over to the bad guy side. I love it. I'm obsessed. I love it.
Also, remember how when the Warblers were introduced, they were introduced as this safe haven, loving environment to contrast to McKinley.
Uh-huh.
And like ever.
No bullying goes down at Warbler.
Literally.
A Warbler at Dalton, pardon me.
Blaine was holding this club together. They just consistently turn evil without him. Blaine really, he had a suit. Honestly, he might need to go back to that club because he was saving those boys' souls.
I know.
They he's have just, all.
He's doing good there, really.
They've all lost their humanity without him. So, Yeah. It's also funny to me. Two things that just are wild to me. One, the fact that Blaine is such a legend to Dalton and he was only ever an underclassman at that school.
Yeah, he's like a freshman.
And everyone like will never get over him. He's been gone for a year and a half at this point. And also, they always try and trick us into thinking that Blaine was such good friends with the Warblers. Literally, one of my notes says, I dare Blaine to name a single person in this room besides Sebastian. Like, he never spoke to any of these people.
I know.
He only ever spoke to Telly Lung, and Telly Lung graduated.
I know. But maybe it's like a, you know, one of those things where it's like, he was too popular to ever interact with them. He was too busy learning all of his solos to ever interact with them. He couldn't make friends. He didn't have time for friends.
And I mean, they did worship him. We do see that in season two, that they are all obsessed with him. So I understand how that would feel very good.
I would feel very good. Honestly, I was like, honestly, Blaine, go back. I would. I was like, sold, you got me.
Especially freaking your home glee club is turning into a like CW boring teen drama, and not a fun CW drama that has superheroes, regular CW drama.
Well, they've got superheroes this week. What are you talking about?
I know, but normally they don't. Like, your home glee club is dealing with all of these heavy issues. And Dalton Academy.
And a love triangle you're not even involved in?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And at Dalton Academy, you have like an evil leader who pets a cat and tempts you with Kelly Clarkson songs.
And that
songs.
Cat was cute.
That sounds way more fun.
I know. Way more fun.
Sign me up.
Go back to Dalton in a second.
My
and
gosh.
Also, it's probably closer to his house.
Truly.
What else happens in this plot? I didn't take any notes.
Okay. So, Blaine has started a superhero club at the school, which I love. Hooray. Blaine has a personality. Good for him.
Yes. I love his obsession with clubs. Fun thing about Blaine.
It is great. Not a single newbie is a member of this club because there is a law at McKinley that all sophomores are not allowed to talk to upperclassmen or they will be expelled, apparently, because they never speak to each other.
Yeah.
So the superhero club is literally every member of the show who was in season three. And then everyone who was not is not in it.
Yeah.
Finn first, you know, he's cosplaying as Will.
Literally, like, there was a part where he came up in his vest and I thought it was Will. I was like, it took me aback.
He's really trying to run this club. He says he has an idea. He's trying to come up in the assignment of the week. He's like, we'll do songs by Foreigner in a foreign language. And then he has a come to Jesus moment where he's like, oh, everyone loves superheroes. And Blaine has the superhero club. Let's have everyone do superhero duets where everyone has to sing with someone else and dress as a superhero alter ego. There's a very funny line where he's talking about how he's going to change his idea. And he says, I get it. My first idea was bad. And Tina says, yeah, worse than funk. And Artie says, worse than night of neglect.
Worse than night of neglect. That made me laugh.
Which, very good. That episode is so awful.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they decide to do dynamic duets. Everyone's being a superhero. God, what else is there to say about this plot line? Blaine wants to transfer back to Dalton. Yeah. He says he feels like Pyro in X-Men 2. When he joins the Brotherhood of Mutants, which I was also like, Blaine, the Brotherhood of Mutants are eugenicists.
Yeah.
Why are you being like, remember how Pyro felt really welcomed by the eugenicists?
Uh-huh.
That's how I feel by Dalton. So I think it's probably a good fit.
Yeah.
No.
Oh my gosh. You know, Did you like all of the, let's talk about all the New Directions' superhero alter egos. The biggest thing, I think, with all of these, these superheroes, I think the big sore thumb here is, our dear Tina's costume. I think it's, Ian Brennan, being racist, frankly. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And even beyond that, so Tina is Asian persuasion. Mm-hmm. But in case that didn't, in case we didn't catch that, Dadi Kazutori is chai tea.
Yeah. Which, what the fuck? Oh my God. And I don't know. And it wasn't even and I think even giving her persuasion is her, her
superpower.
Superpower. And also, at what cost? If her superpower is going to be persuasion and she's not even in the plot to even talk to Blaine about bringing him back. So you're just being weird, Ian Brennan. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. What? I don't know.
Yeah.
There's so many other options you could have given Tina. The absolute corner they've put this character in just makes me really sad.
Yeah, it's her only personality trait. It's not even a personality trait.
Yeah.
The only thing they ever say about this character is the fact that she's Asian, and that's it.
Yeah.
We got beyond those two, which are not good. We got Blaine as Nightbird, who is just a Nightwing ripoff from DC. I think it's fun.
Yeah.
We got.
I like when he's in the corner and Finn is like, "What are we gonna do about the Dalton situation?" And then he goes, "Nightbird's handling it." I thought that was funny.
We have, I think, frankly, Sam's might be my favorite.
Yeah,
Sam is
cute.
The blonde chameleon because he can do an impression of anyone. What would you say is your favorite?
I like Sugar's because you know what? Money is a superpower.
It truly
is. Hello, Bruce Wayne. Hello. Money is his superpower. That's the truth. And I think Sugar's is funny. And I also like the human brain. I think that's funny.
Yeah, Brittany is a human brain.
And she says nothing about what her superpowers are or anything. She's like, I'm the human brain. And then Blaine's like, okay, perfect. Cool. Thank you, the human brain.
You know... Okay, so Finn gives them this assignment where they all have to be superheroes, they all have to sing duets. Are we ever told who anyone's duet partner is?
I think it is specifically for those four to set aside their differences.
Like, in season one, when we did Ballad, obviously that episode was to set Kurt up with Finn and to set Rachel up with Will, and I think there was a third pair in there that I'm forgetting. Obviously that's why we had that episode. But, they at least had the decency to tell us who everyone was paired up with.
Mm-hmm.
The writers care, and I might be wrong, maybe I just forgot, but it seems to me the writers literally, care so little about these characters. There is not a whisper of who Joe is singing with, who Sugar is singing with, who Brittany is singing with. We just know it's Ryder and Jake, Kitty and Marley, and then Blam get together of their own accord. Yeah. And that's it.
Well, I mean, I kind of saw it as this is the assignment to ease tension in the club with these four, and that's it. And even Finn said something along the lines of, you will sing with you, you sing with you, and then that's it. You know what I mean? I don't know.
I mean, I guess Finn's a new teacher. That just seems, I respect having a lesson that the secret reason behind the lesson is these four need to chill out, but to have it openly be only these four have homework and here's why is come on.
I know, it's silly.
Also, can we talk about the fact that Ryder and Kitty are now in the Glee Club without having auditioned? And Tina
don't even get me fucking started on this.
Tina brings it up where she's like, shouldn't we vote on if they're in or not? And Finn says, well, we need 12 people for sectionals and we're under the wire. How about you contact any two of the pages of kids who actually auditioned in the first episode?
DeWanda, hello.
DeWanda is waiting in the wings.
Seriously, I could go on and on about how I really think that, like, you know, that whole episode, it was such a throwaway thing, but it, like, genuinely hurts my feelings. Like, that these, like, pages of kids wanted to join the Glee Club, and then they're scrapped. They're strapped. They don't know what to do, so they just pick two randos. And also, Will, like, setting Finn up for failure, truly, where he's like, here is not the amount of kids you need for regionals. Have fun. Or sectionals, I don't remember. Have fun. Bye. You know? Oh, gosh, it makes me mad, mad.
And they let Kitty in the group, who is openly bullying one of the students in the group.
Yeah.
And these other kids.
Not all of them.
And all these other kids who auditioned and were probably very nice kids, they're like, sorry, no.
Yeah.
Shoot. I mean, it does make sense in what you said that Will just dipped out and Finn wasn't around for auditions. So sure. Finn was like, we need two members and these two kids were in Greece. So do you guys want to do it? Shoot, I don't know.
And I buy that Ryder would join. I don't buy that Kitty would join, genuinely. Like, Kitty was a part of the group of, like, jocks and Cheerios that were, like, actively, like, you know, choosing to be a part of, like, the Glee Club friend group, and then, like, actively rejected them when they, you know, when stuff went down with Marley's mom.
I don't understand anything that Kitty does ever. Frankly.
God.
Let's talk about it. Who is this girl? Like, why? Yeah. First, that, you know, they made her push Marley to have an ED, which is, like, so vile and not fun evil, just, like, straight up awful evil. But now, why is she still messing with this girl? Like, I don't know what her motivation is.
I know.
Greece is over. Marley and Jake are not an item at the beginning of this episode. So why is Kitty still, like, wasting her energy to torment this girl specifically over all this stuff?
Yeah.
It's just so incredibly evil that I don't know. Like, they have moments of Kitty in this episode that are, you know, fun mean girl, where they're all painting over the graffiti and they're all painting and Kitty's, like, on her phone instead of painting. Like, that's fun mean girl. Or even in some nights at the end of the episode when the New Directions are singing and Kitty and Marley have a duet line together and they sing and they're all buddy buddy and then they turn around and Kitty rolls her eyes. Like, that's fun, mean girl.
Yeah.
But a girl who is pushing an ED on another girl for, like, absolutely no reason is not fun, mean girl. And I just don't understand what is going on with, like, the writers.
What's her motivation here? Yeah.
What they think this character is and what their plan was for her, or if they just straight up didn't have a plan and are winging it, because that's what it feels like.
I know. And if there was even, like, I don't know, like, I've got no excuses for her and I'll never make any ever. But, like, if there was, like, some sort of, like, you know, where she was talking about how she, you know, any sort of motivation behind it, but it's just, like, to cause chaos. Like, I don't understand. Like, there's no reason. And I can't even potentially see a reason at this point. You know what I mean? Like, I don't like it. I really don't. And I don't know.
I think it's just residual jealousy because of the whole, like, just residual jealousy, you know? But also, it's weird because in the same episode, we have moments of potential friendship between Kitty and Marley.
I know, yeah.
Where they get paired together to be duet partners. And Marley doesn't want to go out in her costume and her superhero name is WF for Wallflower because that's how she sees herself. Mm-hmm. And Kitty gives her this pep talk about, like, no, you're a woman fierce and I'm going to make you confident in all of this stuff.
Yeah.
And yes, it does come from a place of Kitty doesn't want the duet to be embarrassing. But it also feels,
and, like, classic abuser stuff, like getting on your side, like keeping your, like, enemies close, quote unquote. Like, that's, like, you know, abusers will do that to you where they, like, you know, make you feel good. And so you trust their judgment more. that's just a whole thing. But I don't know.
No, that's true. Dang, I don't know.
I don't know.
Kitty is everything and nothing right now, and I know. They can't figure out what she is.
I know. But their number is so good. Can we talk about their number? Do you love it or do you love
it? Oh, I think it's fantastic. I think it's amazing. Hero is great, yeah.
It's so good. Their voices sound great together. The choreography is so fun, like with the whip and them, mm-hmm. like spinning around. I just think it's, adorable. I love it.
I agree. I think awesome. It's great.
Do you want to talk about another song?
We still have more stuff to talk about with the Blaine of it all, with him transferring.
Okay.
So let's hit up the Blaine of it all. So Blaine's going to transfer back to Dalton. He's going to join the Brotherhood of Mutants. I don't know how easy it is to just transfer high schools with the drop of a hat. The kids seem to be doing it all the time in this universe. My gosh. But Finn has a conversation with Blaine, which is very funny, where Blaine tells Finn that he's leaving and Finn tries to convince him to stay. And Blaine says, Finn, you need a team that's going to gel. And Finn says, exactly. We need a team with a lot of gel. And you're like the biggest part of that.
I roll.
I think that's comedy gold.
Really?
I think that's hilarious.
I'm glad.
I love that line. I stand by it. That is classic Finn. I love Finn being dumb. So I think that's a great line.
I am glad. It made my eyes roll. I don't know. I think I, this show bullying Darren Criss for his hair gel is, I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, it's not Darren Criss. Darren Criss does not gel his hair. It's fully just Blaine.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a well that they have gone to a million times mm-hmm. with the fact that Blaine gels his hair a lot. I just love a good Finn malapropism, so
yeah,
I was a big fan of it personally.
I'm glad.
But oh well. Also in this episode, okay, so Sam decides he's got to help his secret boyfriend out, the boy that he has a secret crush on because Sam is secretly bisexual, and he needs to talk.
That's the truth.
Yeah, he needs to talk Blaine out of leaving for Dalton. Mm-hmm. And he talks to Blaine, and Blaine's like, I have to leave. I'm just filled with so much shame here because I cheated on Kurt. And we are given the flashback of the century into Blaine doing the deed with Eli, the lighthouse.
The lighthouse. He looks just like a lighthouse.
Something that bothers me about this.
Okay.
I mean, frankly, a flashback of Blaine guiltily putting his shirt back on while we see Eli in blurred focus in the background. High drama. I love it. Mm-hmm. But also, like, what kind of person is Blaine? Like, we had speculated that maybe Eli was like someone from his past.
Yeah. Or he was maybe just someone random.
Or maybe like someone who had like contacted him a lot over the internet. But Eli says to Blaine as a joke, he says, what's wrong? I don't look like my profile picture, which is like, yuck, yuck, get it. It's a picture of a lighthouse. But that just proves to us that before Blaine went to Eli's house with the sole purpose of having sex with him, Blaine had never even seen a picture of him before. So like, I already was like, Blaine cheating was out of character and a terrible thing for him to do and horrible and all of that stuff. But you're telling me that he straight up just hooked up with a rando that he had not even seen a picture of on the internet, like went out of his way. I don't know. I think it's dumb.
Yeah.
I think it's out of character.
I know. I agree. I think it's super out of character. Like it would make, I feel like Blaine to me, when I think of Blaine, is like a very sensitive person. He very much like thrives on like connecting with the people he's close to, like, and for him to just like, betray Kurt in this way, not even with someone who like makes him feel close to someone, I just think is not a Blaine thing to do. There's nothing, absolutely nothing wrong with like doing that if you're not cheating on someone, obviously, but it's like, I just don't think Blaine would do this from what we know of Blaine. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's just like, it feels calculated. It yeah. wasn't like he was feeling lonely and he was like talking to someone to comfort him. And one thing led to another, and it still was super wrong.
Yeah, it was like with the intention of like hurting Kurt.
Yeah, like he, the only reason that he accepted this friend request and poked this guy was because he was like, Kurt isn't talking to me, and so I'm going to fully have sex with a random person. Yeah. Not like I'm going to talk to another person, like I'm going to full bone down with this lighthouse that I've never
poked someone in the biblical sense.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know. I just think this show is truly not good at, you know, setting up a character. They just like, kind of give people things to do where they're like, this is something that could happen. Like, let's have someone poke someone on Facebook and then hook up with them as a stranger. Who's not busy this week? Let's give it to Blaine, you know?
Yeah, at this point, the freaking choir room is like 10 mannequins and Marley. Like...
Marley, yeah.
I feel like so. I do think that Marley's character has been pretty consistent, and she feels like she's. And I feel like Jake has been pretty consistent, in fairness. I don't find Jake interesting personally, but I do think he's been pretty consistent. But everyone else are. They're just there to fill up space and then say a line of dialogue, or like you said. Have the writers be like, well, shoot, we need this plot line to happen. So I guess this character will do this plot line this week.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
Let's talk about Heroes, the Blam duet.
Okay, perfect. I love this song, period. And I think this is a fun rendition of it. And I think I love the idea that Sam is such a good person. Oh my God. That's like, you know what? I know you feel like the villain right now, but let's like go do some good and like, you know, make McKinley better and maybe you'll feel a little better. Like what an amazing person. And I just love this song. I think this song is so great. So I think this number, I was like, it got me a little misty. It was pretty sweet. Mm-hmm. I liked it a lot.
You know, piss me off about this number.
What?
They're being real life heroes. They're going, they're painting over graffiti at their school. Good for them. We don't want people to know that Figgins likes being milked like a cow. Yeah. And then, as is wont to happen.
Just spelling the rumor.
Exactly. As is wont to happen when you're a bunch of teenagers painting something, a paint fight breaks out and yeah. they're flirty, fun, and thriving, just like painting each other and giggling. Hear me out. I was a high schooler. I painted part of my campus. This did end up happening. Yeah. The difference is... all of us showed up in like old t-shirts and jeans because we knew we were painting.
Seriously.
These kids are
Tina's in like a vintage gown.
Seriously. They're in like H&M's fall line. These are like outfits from magazines.
Not to mention Kitty's Cheerio uniform. That thing is dry clean only.
If I was wearing any of the clothes these kids were wearing and someone painted me, I would not be laughing.
Not to mention, this is outdoor paint. Mm-hmm. Like, you need paint thinner to get rid of this paint. Like, that shit doesn't just wash off.
That, I would be so incredibly furious. I want the cutscene of them then in the bathroom trying to scrub it off their face. And then
they can't get it.
Just attending school for the next 3 days with white paint on their faces.
Uh-huh. And like just like sores from like rubbing their cheeks raw. Owie. Ouch. I don't know. One time I got in a paint fight with all my siblings downstairs in the basement where we were about to like, you know, clean up the basement. And we were like spray painting like the concrete walls before everything happened. And then we like started like spray painting our hands and like, you know, rubbing paint on each other. And my parents were so mad. They were like, are you kidding me? And I remember it was like on like the soles of my feet for like so long afterward. Oh, and yeah. I couldn't get it off. Yeah. And it was all over my hands and like it was terrible.
At what cost?
I know, at what cost?
Flirty young fun at what cost? New directions. I hope it was worth it.
I know. At least do that in a paint class with washable paint. My gosh.
Seriously. At least, like, wear
a
t-shirt
like, wear, like,
from, like, summer camp.
Something. Yeah.
My gosh.
I know. Your summer camp shirt. Come on, you guys. I know. Silly.
craziness.
I do love that number, though. So sweet. And nothing brings a group together, a group of teens together, quite like some messy fun.
That's very true.
Yeah.
That is very true.
And like, I can tell it's like not them acting at like a point where it's just like Jenna Ushkowitz in the middle of a circle and every single person painting her. Like, you know, it's just these people being friends. And I like moments like that in this show, especially.
Yeah. They're very nice. Yeah,
very nice. Yeah. You know, it's stuck in my head.
What?
And it's been stuck in my head this entire episode. Come on and stand. Stand. You gotta run again. I don't know why. The warblers, maybe.
Those warblers, baby.
Those warblers.
Well, that's Blam. That's spoiler Blam. Alert, Blaine doesn't transfer. He and Sam fall in love, but it's a secret. This episode ends with Blam kissing.
Yes! Spread that rumor.
That's true, everyone.
That's a rumor.
And that's Blam.
That's Blam. They kiss. End. Come on and Blam. Blam. Blam, they're gonna kiss again.
Blam is gonna kiss again.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Do you want to talk about Jider?
Yeah, oh, I hate that word.
I love it. What are your thoughts on the Jake and Ryder of it all?
Okay, here's my thoughts. Number one, I love a love triangle, and I can't tell you I don't. I really do. Something about a love triangle, it like is everything to me. But also, like, could you imagine being another kid in this club? I'd be so annoyed. I'd be like, oh my gosh, like literally nobody cares.
For real.
For real.
The way that Jake and Ryder come to blows during their song, because they're both trying to sing at Marley, I was like, how are you not embarrassed?
I know. If I was someone else
in this room.
This is a girl and she has a choice in this. Why don't you fucking talk to her, you seriously, weirdos?
That's humiliating. I'm sorry. It's so crazy. Two guys sing a duet in a choir class that ended in them getting into matching
superhero uniforms
in like, full body spandex that ended in a full fist fight. I would be like, this is the funniest thing I've ever seen. I'm never letting you live this down.
And they also like ran into like the drums. Like, ouch, you guys are so weird. No, I totally would bully the shit out of them. I'd be like, you guys are crazy. Have you ever talked to Marley? What does Marley want? And they're like, oh, we don't know. You know? I don't know. Such weirdos. I don't know. All that being said, I am interested in like the trope that is like, you know, a love triangle. So that's interesting just at a base level. I really, honestly, I like this plot. I think this plot is nice. And I think I even like Jake calling Puck. That's the right one.
Yes.
And being like, honestly, I'm thinking that like, you know, Ryder, you know, this is happening with this, like this girl and blah, 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 blah. And then Puck being like, you know what? Like, be a good guy. Hold back. Like, you know, don't like be an asshole. And like, if it's meant to happen, it'll happen. Obviously, he doesn't say it like that. But like, I think it's a nice moment between them too. And I like these two opening up to each other. And I think it like is it's a good moment where, you know, these two people are both struggling in their own ways. Jake with, you know, he's being constantly bullied for being biracial and Jewish, and like Ryder struggling in his own ways with like his, you know, his newly discovered learning disability. I just think that this plot, I really like this plot. Mm-hmm. And like these two people seeing each other as people for a second and like, you know, setting aside their drama with Marley and, you know, seeing each other as people. And then also like Ryder standing up for Jake in the lunchroom at the end of this episode that's like, you know what, we're, that's, he calls him, that's my boy, you know, and, you know, like, where they have some sort of, like, friendship and brotherhood after all of this, and I think it's lovely. I really like it.
Yeah, I agree. I like the twist to the love triangle that is, oh, Jake and Puck learn to respect each other and like each other and become friends instead of just mm-hmm. like, these two dudes are going to yeah. fight about this girl for the rest of the season. That yeah. is interesting, and I like that.
I meant Jake and Ryder. Lena's not the only person who doesn't know these characters' names.
And I do, you talking about it, I do like the idea of Jake calling Puck as his half-brother and, like, getting advice from him. I just also recognize how desperately these showrunners are trying to keep the main cast yeah. in this show.
Ain't that the truth?
That they are trying to find any reason to bring these actors back because they're like, shoot, they're still on the payroll. What do yeah. we do?
It's like, just get them off. You know, get them off the payroll.
I will say this till I'm blue in the face. This, it just, this relationship doesn't feel like Glee to me. Like, there's no, okay. Once again, I just think these newbies are in a very grounded CW drama. That doesn't mean it's a bad CW drama. It just means that there's literally a plot line in this episode where Blaine is, like, tempted by Dalton to sing a song, and it's treated as if he went over to the dark side, while we get this very earnest
oh, yeah.
storyline.
I thought you were gonna say you didn't like that, like that was oh, no. Glee, and I was like, what are you talking about?
No. Okay. But we get this very earnest storyline about mm-hmm. Jake and Ryder seeing each other as human. And I like yeah. that storyline, and I like that idea, and all of that. It just doesn't feel heightened in any way. It doesn't feel satirical in any way. It doesn't feel kooky in any way. It just mm-hmm. feels like, it's so weird because the New York stuff and the McKinley stuff often feels divorced from each other, but it's like, even within McKinley, there's two different shows. Like, Glee is truly yeah. three shows right now. It's yeah. Sex and the City.
It's the newbies.
Totally. It's Sex and the City in New York. It's Glee, which is like the upperclassmen, and it's a new CW drama with the newbies, and they're all yeah. trying to share airtime, and it yeah. is just like a constant fight.
Yeah. I do agree. I do think they try their best, and I mean, maybe this is just Ian Brennan's style, like, to make this kooky in a different way, like putting it in the superhero, like,
yes.
genre.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where it's like, you have those moments of them, like, being dramatic in a kooky way, but obviously that doesn't fit in every episode that's just this one. So mm-hmm. I agree. But I also, like, kind of like what we were talking about a little bit last week, at least with, you know, with Jake and Ryder, like, these are, like, pretty real life struggles that teens go through mm-hmm. and that young people just go through, you know, like, I think, you know, them exploring, like, Ryder discovering, you know, being diagnosed with dyslexia. I think Jake opening up about, like, you know, how he feels like he doesn't fit in. And I just think, you know, that's a good thing for us to hear about. And that's a good thing for, you know, people to talk about. But I do agree. It's like, you know, what is Glee? What is Glee anymore? But I think it's good. I like it.
No, I don't think this plotline is bad at all. It just feels different to me. Yeah, I also respect to them having Ryder be dyslexic and then actually, like, moving forward with it and having it be a part of his character, as opposed to Sam, who mentioned he was dyslexic once 2 years ago, and that was the beginning and end of it.
I know. I do. I mean, listen, I love to, like, talk about the dyslexic stuff for just a second. I love this stuff. And just the conversation that, oh my God, that him and Finn had, where, I'm not going to cry. Where he was like, I've been carrying this secret for so long. And Finn mm-hmm. says, put it down. Oh, my God, I could cry. It's just so sweet. And, like, you know, I have learning disabilities myself. Like I fully relate to the conversation and, like, the feeling of feeling like you're so dumb. And then someone being like, that's just not the truth. Oh, my God. I love it. I'm glad I get to see it on Glee. So I'm happy about it. Put it down, Finn said. Oh my God. Keep crying. Eve. Crying.
I really like that scene too. And I really like that conversation. Yeah. One thing that is so weird to me is that scene is like very grounded and very earnest, which I honestly think is smart. Like, you know, if you're going to talk about that, which is a real struggle a lot of people go through, you know, keep it grounded and earnest. And, you know, Ryder's like crying. Finn is there comforting him. And then
neck brace cheerio
cuts straight in front of them. I know. Like full close up on her.
It made me laugh.
As she's walking. It made me laugh. That cut the dramatic tension big time.
Honestly, but I think I liked it. Because I literally, like, I was sitting there sobbing. Because I was like, oh my God, I've literally had this conversation before. And so I'm sitting there sobbing. And the neck brace cheerio comes in and I laugh. And I think it was cute. And it was like towards the end of that scene. It wasn't like while he was saying something. I don't know. Yeah. I really thought it was funny. Like Ian Brennan doing like this fully serious, like, you know, a moment where someone like really like, you know, feels empowered in their learning and like crying and the neck brace cheerio passes. Ian Brennan, you silly goose. I loved it. I thought it was sweet.
I have in my notes because, you know, Ryder and Jake fight, and then Finn is like, okay, new assignment for both of you.
And then Sam goes, full Nelson, full Nelson.
Like, yes.
Full Nelson and pulls him out.
But Finn is like, new assignment for you. You have to tell each other your kryptonite, tell each other like what you're self-conscious about. And that's when, you know, Jake opens up about being bullied for being biracial. Ryder opens up about having a hard time reading. I have in my notes, what if Ryder and Jake do this exercise and then fall in love?
You learn enemies to lovers.
Exactly.
You learn a little bit more about your enemy and then you fall in love.
And they're like, we don't need Marley. Like, let's move forward with this.
Oh my God, that is inspired.
If they really wanted to turn the love triangle trope on its head, come on, Glee.
Someone write a fan fiction now. I gotta read that. I'm sure it's been done. I'm obsessed with that. God, I love enemies to lovers. Probably my favorite trope of all time.
All right. Do you have other thoughts besides the final number, which is some nights?
No.
I like, there's a line that Brittany says that's funny when Finn tells him what his idea is for the assignment of the week. And Brittany goes to her phone and says, Kiki, what do you think? And Kiki says, I think I'm alive and you are the machine.
Classic Ian Brennan.
I like that line.
Yeah, I like that line too.
Also, I know what Finn was getting at by doing this assignment. And I also know that Finn is not a teacher. So I like really shouldn't expect him to be good around kids and know how to treat them. But telling this girl that she has to spend a lot of alone time with her bully is not cool. And like, yes, Finn doesn't know, because no one but Marley knows, that Kitty is like egging her into having an ED. But it's not a secret that Kitty openly mocks Marley, makes fun of her, puts her down all the time. Do not make Marley do an assignment with her. Horrible.
Yeah. Well, I just think that's like, it's this show kind of, you know, forgetting the rules of a school for a second. Like, if I, you know, Finn has no doubt heard about, like, Marley's, you know, costume drama, has no doubt heard about that, and has done, like, nothing to, like, you know, help the situation, aid the situation in any way, or, like, you know, and I feel like if I was a director of a show, and I had heard that stuff was going on, whether I had a teaching degree or not, like, that's, like, kind of, you would stop that, right? And I think
what stuff do you mean specifically?
What do you mean?
Because no one knows that Marley was fully.
I mean, like the costume drama that is, you know, Marley kept to the world, gaining weight and not fitting in her costume, and every single person was talking about it and making fun of her. And like Tina Cohen Chang texted like, you know, his ex-girlfriend about it, and like everyone in their cat was talking about it and like wouldn't get it out of their goddamn mouths. That's what I'm talking about. I would put a stop to that.
Yeah.
I think any teacher, any like, you know, would like be like, okay, let's maybe not. And I feel like sometimes Glee forgets like a school, you know, what happens in a school, but maybe some schools don't do that. I don't know.
I mean, Finn Foley is in the teacher's lounge and is teaching what is essentially a class because it's during school hours, but they're like, but it's called a club, so he's allowed to.
Yeah.
We're deep into the fantasy here.
I know, literally, I guess so. I don't know. Let's talk about that last number.
All right. What'd you think?
Oh, no. Do you not like this number?
I don't think this number is bad. I like the distribution of solos a lot.
Yeah, I really like this number for that.
I just didn't care for it. And I also was like, is this supposed to... I'm so sorry, everyone. I just... This season doesn't speak to me.
I really like this number.
It just felt like they were trying to do... I feel like season 4 is really trying to capture season 1's lightning again. Because, you know, they essentially are repiloting the series with these new characters and they're trying to, like, boost the ratings.
Yeah.
And this just felt like them trying to do Don't Stop Believing. And maybe that's... I'm just saying that because the outfits are literally the Don't Stop Believing outfits.
Yeah, I don't agree at all. And I think the feeling you're getting is they're just doing a show choir number. And they're doing a show choir dance. And they're wearing their school colors.
Yeah. I just... What are you talking literally, about? My notes for this number are, is this episode ever going to end?
Oh, I like this number. I think this number is really sweet. And I think, like, you know, everyone kind of getting a moment, at least, you know, not everyone gets a full solo, but everyone kind of gets a moment like on camera and like a bunch of people get solos. And I think the number is very sweet. I think the choreography is very like classic show choir, you know, maybe classic season 1, but I think this number is adorable. And like, I think it captures what Glee is now, with like kind of the specialness that was Glee season 1, where it's like, you know, a song that's very big in 2012, but also like, you know, in, you know, jeans and a red shirt.
Yes.
I think it's sweet. I think this number is very sweet. I think the cringiest number part of this number for me is our boy Zane from the After movie, from the Harry Styles fanfic movie. Like, just speaking. But
honestly,
poor thing.
I was excited for him. My other note is Joe speaks. I was like, this is the most you've spoken this whole season. Joe. Good for you.
Good for you.
The reason, and I hear what you're saying, and you're so right, that red is literally McKinley School colors. So,
yeah. Like, that you can't gatekeep red to one song.
Yeah. And, like, you know, how many episodes of Glee have ended with them singing a top 40 hit?
Yeah.
Like, they do this all the time.
Yeah.
What makes me feel like it's them trying to recapture Don't Stop Believing is this episode very much feels like, in the way that the pilot of Glee is about Will learning to take care of this club and having a hard time doing it and trying to foster the club and trying to keep it together. And then he finally sees them all come together with Don't Stop Believing. And that's what makes Will be like, oh, I can do this.
Sure.
This feels like that for Finn. And this this show has not been, you know, subtle about the fact that Finn is Will, in the fact that Will fully...
They've been saying that since season 1.
Yeah. And Finn fully dresses as Will in this episode. And so it just feels like this episode is Finn's pilot. And that he goes through that same journey that Will goes on in the pilot. And then this moment is Finn watching his club and being like, oh, we actually have a club. We have a shot now.
Yeah.
And so I personally think that the red was probably intentional for that mirror.
Sure.
And I can respect a good cinematic parallel.
I do think all of this is kind of intentional for the mirror, you know? And I think, like, you know, any teacher ever who, like, is having a tough time is going to go through something similar.
Mm-hmm.
I think all of it's kind of intentional. I don't know.
And, like... I appreciate a good callback. I appreciate a good cinematic parallel.
Yeah.
And I do like the concept of, you know, Will was someone that was so important in Finn's life and Finn kind of stepping into his shoes. Mm-hmm. So I like all of that. I think it's just the fact that I have so much beef with this season that I like roll my eyes at it.
I hear you. Well, you run a Glee podcast. You better start liking Glee. If that's all of our, do we have any more thoughts on the episode, or is that a season wrap on Dynamic Duets?
I think that's a season wrap. I don't think I have anything. I have a note that says, give Sugar and Joe something to do challenge. I think that's it.
Great. Awesome. You want to do best part, worst part?
Heck yeah.
Doom, doom, doom.
Best part, worst part.
Boom.
All right, Lena, what's your best part?
What is my best part? I like a lot of this episode. Honestly, a lot of good stuff in this episode to me. I think, I'm going to say, I'm going to say my best part is the conversation between Finn and Ryder. That's just very special to me. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoyed seeing it. And then neck brace Cheerio crossing made me laugh. So I enjoyed that part. I think my best number is... honestly, the numbers are really good in this episode too. Oh gosh, which one was my favorite? I'm going to say Heroes. I like that one.
Heck yeah.
What was your best part?
My best number is I Need a Hero.
Yeah.
That one is very fun. And my best part is probably Blaine coming back to Dalton. That whole scene, the reveal of Hunter. Good.
Holy shit.
The camera work, good. How dramatic it all is. I really like that scene. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that.
What's your worst part?
You know, the continuation of the Edie stuff with Marley, you know, and on one hand, it's like representation that I think, you know, like people go through this. So like I hear that. And so it's bringing awareness to something. But God, the way they talk about it, can it be any more graphic and terrible and gross and awful and horrifying? Like, even in this episode where there's just offhanded comments that are just violent and vile, like probably that, but that's probably gonna be my worst part for a long time. Probably that. But what was your worst part?
I just don't like how many characters are essentially seat fillers right now.
Totally.
Which is so funny because we keep talking about how this season like really mirrors season one in a lot of ways. And like, frankly, one of the things I don't like about season one is how many of the characters are just seat fillers and don't get fleshed out until season two. Yeah. And I'm like, why would you try and mirror that?
Yeah, like, I know, I agree.
You spent all this time, these last three seasons, making every member of the club their own person just to revert it back to 70% of the club is just there to have 12 people for sectionals.
Yeah.
And that just sucks.
Yeah. Not to mention everything that goes down with Tina this episode. That is a worst part for me as well.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. Yeah. Well, that's your episode, you guys.
Heck yeah.
If you have thoughts that you would like to share with us, you can send them to our email account, recoveringgleek@gmail.com.
Oi, if you want to follow us on social media, you can find us on Instagram and TikTok @recoveringgleek_podcast. You can find us on Twitter @recoveringgleek. If you want to support this podcast, we would love it if you could rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Help get the word out. Or if you want to financially support us, you can subscribe to our Patreon, which is patreon.com/recoveringgleek. Mm-hmm. There's also a lot of benefits to subscribing to our Patreon. You get ad-free episodes. You get video footage of the episodes. If you join our top tier, you get bi-weekly vlogs. You also, if you're a patron, get bonus episodes every month. All of that lovely stuff. Mm-hmm. And if you join our top tier, if you're one of the best friends of the podcast, you get a shout out at the end of our episodes.
Hey, yeah. Let's set this up. Let me find some royalty-free tunes. Superhero music?
Yes.
These are our superheroes. All right, here are our best friends of the podcast. Kodiak and Kristen and Annie and Story and Natasha and Liz and Eileen and Mariah and Manuel, Mallory and Sarah and Amina and Hannah and Matilda and Rebecca and Libby and Eve and Jordan and Andrew and Christina and Dell and Sarah and Ari and Liam and Riley and Juliana and Stephanie and Haley, Raphael, Marissa, Rin and Taylor and Kimberly and Emily and Carlin and Frankie and Dana and Chase and Finley and Jocelyn and Margaret and Despina and Liz and Josie, Nash, Aaron, Alana and Marin and Hannah and Phoebe. Turn the page, it's gotta load. And Kaylee and Caitlin and Megan and Rachel and Aria and Jeremy and Beatriz and Eva and Emily and Anaya and Michelle and Lauren and Audrey and Marcus and Lisa and Four and Jacqueline and Spencer and Elise and Troy and Mallory, Meredith, Phoebe and Hannah, Laura and Ray and Emily and Alyssa and Charlie and Lily and Melanie and Yanula and Sam, Samantha and Sam, Jennifer and Aubrey and Stephanie and Kat and Kelsey and Haley and Tiffany and Emily and Leah and Kelsey and Isabel and Amira and Thomas and Chuncho and Cyrus and Brittany. Turn the page. Don't stop. The song is not as long as I want it to be. And Victoria and Aaliyah and Naomi and Haley and Ravi and Andy and Kenzie and Rhiannon and Ashley and Rowan and Tara and Michael and Casey and Andre and Katie and Will and Elizabeth and Freddie and Shanid and Emma and Emma and Turtle and Allison, our superheroes! Woo! Our superhero best friend of the podcast! Yay! Thank you for enabling us to help continue to make our content, and we really appreciate it. We love you.
Thank all of you for being here. We love you all. We'll see you next week when we talk about Thanksgiving.
Yeah. More like Thanksgiving. I literally said the words, oof, it is a bitch tonight. And by bitch, I mean this rain.
Ugh, incredible.
I'm so excited.
Wow. Well, thank you for being here. Check out our minisode on Monday. Send us your thoughts about dynamic duets. And we love you guys.
Yeah, we love you. We love you so much. Here is a kiss on your forehead, consensually.
Go spread some super glee.
Something we can take from this episode is, you know what? Making your community better makes you feel better. So if you're feeling bad, what can you do to help your community? Love you guys. Have a great day.
Bye.
See you later.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review. And tell your friends, please.
You know, it was funny that we didn't mention.
What?
Ryder is like, you know what makes you badass, Jake? That you ride a Razor scooter. That's
true.
So badass.
True.
We didn't mention that at all. Crap. So good.
Dang, at least they're aware.
I know.
I will say one thing that season 4 does well is calling out the show of being like, hey, you guys, we know this thing. We know Night of Neglect was a bad episode. We're aware. Yeah. We're going to just move on.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 € pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.